No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share 4 decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to talk about our labor shortage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's on every headline of everything that I see, from the news to LinkedIn to social media. A lot of people talking about labor shortage.
Yeah, it's definitely been around for a bit. But I want to bring it up in a different context. And that's that, you know, when I am on LinkedIn, and I get job alerts sometimes, you know, different jobs in human resources and in the people space. A lot of areas that I kind of look for where the openings are. I want to see what companies are doing. And every time a job gets posted to LinkedIn, within a day, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of applicants for that job. And yet, that would imply that we don't have a labor shortage. That implies a labor surplus. Those kind of numbers of people applying for a job say that there are more people than there are jobs, but yet we have a labor shortage. And so it's making me think that maybe we don't necessarily have a labor shortage, but there are just certain industries or certain areas where people are opting out, where they're changing what they're doing. And so it's kind of a situation where you might think there was a labor shortage if you were a consumer and you're interacting with people on a daily basis, but there isn't necessarily one in the workforce as a whole. I mean, have you seen this, or what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that there definitely is a shortage in certain industries and certain spaces. And I think that there's a lot of reasons as to why, you know, that we can go on and we've discussed previously before on the podcast. But I would say those jobs where it is serving the public to a degree, it where there are a lot of options and different places to do the same type of job or the same kind of work. I think in a lot of those spaces, people had options, and some people were forced to figure something else out. We talked about it before. There was a lot of furloughs. There was a lot of layoffs. There was a lot of restructuring of companies. There was a lot of companies that couldn't keep the lights on. And, you know, like this, a lot of things happened where I think people were forced to figure out a new way to make a living. And for many of them, it may have just been like, let me spend time doing what I want to do. But I think to your point, when I think specifically, you know, in places like restaurants, fast food, retail, I've never seen so many signs in so many places of limited hours. The store's closed for today. You know, we thank you up front for your patience as, right, you know, it's taking longer. I've walked into restaurants and seen half the tables empty and somebody saying it's a 20-minute wait. You know, so like clearly there are very specific industries and spaces, and I think that's a lot of them are in the public serving spaces, where if I work one place and maybe I got laid off or furloughed or my hours got cut, and then I went and worked somewhere else and I got more hours somewhere else, maybe I stayed there. I don't know. But I think that there's a lot going on where, to your point, certain industries are flourishing, certain companies and organizations, specifically the ones that may be already doing work from home style work or customer service via the internet, like they may have grown quite a bit over the last couple of years, and or they're searching for and taking the best talent they can find. But I've definitely seen it. You can't walk around a mall in America right now and not find a store that's either closed temporarily or it has a sign on the gate that says, sorry, not today, or we're on lunch, we'll be back in 45 minutes because, right, they don't have enough employees to keep the store open. I think that's happening everywhere.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's another part of this too, and that's that in spaces where there's interaction with the public, like in retail and restaurants and service industry spaces, there the element of interaction with the public is draining a lot of people. I think that the stress that everybody is under, the pandemic fatigue, if you will, the general disruption that everybody has had in their lives, that has caused a lot of people who are not working in these spaces but who are shopping and patronizing these spaces to kind of their behavior has devolved. You know, there are customers out there who have treated employees in ways that they never would have three years ago or 5 years ago. Meaning, even the nice people are now just kind of neutral. The neutral people are now a little snippy, and the people who are already snippy are outright obnoxious. And when you are working a retail or a service job, if you interact with 100 people in a day and one of them is obnoxious and five are snippy and 90 are either neutral or pleasant, it's fine. You can move through that. But when very few people are pleasant and most of them are just neutral, and then you have, you know, 20 or 25% of them are obnoxious or very snippy, that eats away very quickly on people in terms of, like, what am I actually being paid for here? Like, there aren't many jobs in the retail service industry, restaurants. There are hardly any outside of leadership that pay a wage that would let you, you know, buy a home, support a family. You know, these are often jobs that are either entry level jobs or they're jobs that people use as stepping stones to other careers. So the money is not fantastic. So if this is causing a person to say, well, if the money's not fantastic, then why wouldn't I just find a job that pays about the same amount of money or maybe even a little bit less and not have to deal with this constant drain of what's happening when I have to interact with the public? And I just don't see that same level of interaction with the public occurs in spaces that are outside those industries. They're just, people are sitting in a cubicle, or they're, you know, they interact with their coworkers every day, but not necessarily the public as much. And so maybe that drain is not necessarily as there, because there are industries where there are entry-level positions that don't necessarily deal with the public. And in those places, there doesn't seem to be a labor shortage either. And so if the shortage is in places where employees are expected to have interactions with customers, then if that's the only places where the shortage is, that doesn't bode well for the industries we're talking about here, like long term. That means there's going to be some serious upheaval that isn't going away anytime soon.
Yeah, and I would even say, I think in some of these in a lot of these jobs where, like I think of specifically like restaurants and servers and bartenders and things like that, like for a lot of people that I know that are in that industry or have done it before, like it's good money, and they have a lot of control over when they can work or how they work, and they have other things going on, other jobs, other hobbies, other passions, some school. Like there's a lot of flexibility in those types of jobs. And again, I think when given the option, or when, you know, when not having to maybe even, like, I think of there's some college kids that I've spoken with where when the college campuses have gone virtual and they no longer have to, like, you know, drive to school, drive to classes, do the type of stuff, like they can be at home, they no longer need the funds like they had before. And so they're choosing not to necessarily work as much because they're able to accomplish what they're accomplishing without having to pay for the costs of making it to school. And then I think in other industries specifically, like I think about the post that you put on LinkedIn the other day and some dialogue that was happening around how people are just treated in general. Because I even think like industries and places where maybe you don't have the interaction with the public so much, if you're in a space where, you know, maybe you're being treated okay, or maybe during these times the leaders that you have not treated you well at all, and you can do that same job somewhere else, I think that is going to be, you know, where there's some, you know, kind of movement around certain industries. And then to your point, based upon what the company is or what they do, they may have a labor shortage. Like I just think that like big companies that people are like if McDonald's is hurting and it takes forever to get a food through a drive-through or to get the order correctly. And I experience that a couple times a week. I think that the fast food industry has a labor shortage.
Right.
Now, right? Like that's just how, because it's such a big player in that space. That might not be the case with the McDonald's that's 3 miles away with a different franchisee owner that right. treats their employees. You see what I'm saying? Like there's so much there that I think the numbers will tell you less people are working. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. But then I also think that by industry, there are things that are coming up and boiling up that are making people make different decisions than they've ever made in the past.
Yeah, that's so true. And when things go like they should, like if I'm a member of the public and the last time I went to a fast food restaurant, there wasn't an issue getting things done in time and everything was great. I'm not talking about that. That's not newsworthy, right? That what's newsworthy is the person who says, yeah, the last five times I went to any place, it was just I couldn't find help. Right, that's what makes the news, because it's different than the norm. It's different than what is expected. So yeah, I'm sure there are places where the employees are treated well, and you know, relatively speaking to the industry as a whole, and where people aren't leaving as quickly as they are in other places. But the fact that it's happening in so many places, like as you said at the beginning, you can't go into a mall anywhere in America and not see many stores either closed or closing or reduced hours. I just think that this kind of reorganization of the labor in away from places that deal with the public, away from places where people who are concerned about getting COVID are exposed to a lot of other people and they don't want to do that anymore. Places where people have just decided they don't want to commute. They don't want to sit in a car anymore and commute. They'd rather work from their underwear in front, behind a computer screen, instead of spending, you know, 2 hours a day in a car. There's almost a reprioritization in everybody's minds of, okay, what is important and what is not important to me, and the things that are not important to me, because you know, the lockdowns that happened prevented us from doing a lot of things. Like, we actually weren't able to do them, and that created a kind of a we were forced into an area where we weren't able to do certain things, and you know what, we survived. Like, I was okay with going for a year without doing A, B, and C. So why would I add it back into my life now if having that thing in my life means I'm also having to spend 2 hours a day in a car to commute somewhere, or, you know, I'm working 60 hours a week as opposed to wanting to only work 35 hours a week, or whatever that is? You know, it is almost a clarity of sorts in terms of what is really important to us. And if we've decided that the things that aren't important to us need to stay away, then that means that there are certain industries that will eventually either go away or they will be much smaller than they have been in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's such an we're very much at a crossroads right now. And I think in a lot of different spaces, and we've always talked about this, just around culture and environment and how do you treat people? And is it about the Hawaiian shirt Fridays? Is it about the ping pong tables? Is it about these different things that people look at and be like, how cool would that be to have that where I work? And then the reality is, where it always will eventually boil down to is like, what is that culture and that environment? And how do the leaders there make it a place that people, maybe enjoy? Maybe they don't find all the joy in the world in doing the job, but they enjoy being there. They have good relationships. They feel supported. They feel like they're having progression. Like, all those things matter so much more, than the small little things that people do. And I think that the last 2 years has shown us even more of that. That the relationship that you have as a leader with your people, that they have with you, that the clarity and transparency of dialogue and conversations that you have, that the ability to listen and adapt and adjust to what's going on is super important to people right now. And because people are not going to forget that if something happened to a loved one last year, or somebody had something happen from a health standpoint, or even passed away, the ability to support them and to help them and to work with them, to work through processing that, those that have kids in school, like, this just happened to me. My wife and I and our two daughters are here in Florida, and it's just us. And, my daughter came home sick, and then my wife got sick. And then I was at home with the girls, and like, those are times in my life. I'm just not used to that. It's not something I've ever really experienced in my entire professional career of being home and having to take care of a family and be cautious and all these types of things, while also, wanting to juggle work and get work done. And it was just relatively weird for me, because I'm just so used to very much being connected and being on. But the support and the dialogue conversation is like, whatever you need, take what you need. Obviously, nothing is more important than making sure that the family is good, the kids are good. So like, that level of support and the way that leaders make that come to life for you is such an important part. I think it always has been. I think it's more so now than ever, as we think about the future of workforces and the relationships that leaders have with their people, and you know how we connect with one another to make sure that we're adaptable and flexible for the needs of people that are working really, really hard for us.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that it is every bit as much about how these policies or procedures are implemented from an emotional standpoint as it is from how they're actually written on paper. And so let me give you an example of that. I'm sure there are companies out there where on paper they say, this is, we support this. If you need time for your to be with your family because of COVID or COVID-related things, you need to go do that. We'll take care of you. Whatever you need, this is what the company policy or the values are of the organization. But if they're presented to you with kind of an underlying eye roll that you can read between the lines from a leader who clearly feels annoyed by the fact that you don't want to be, that you can't be there right now, that you have to be with your family instead, that's just as bad as not having the ability to go be with your family in the first place. Because in fact, it might even be worse in some cases because you have, in essence, made a promise on paper that now is not really being backed up. And you know the promise on paper, and to me that falls in line with the foosball table and the Hawaiian shirt Friday, which is that's the icing, not the cake. The icing looks really great in a job posting, in an open position, in a Glassdoor review, but the cake itself it can't be quantified on paper. It can only be seen in real time in terms of how your leaders support you. And that can happen in a great way, even if the policies of the company aren't where they need to be. There can be leaders who interpret the policies of an organization in a way that allows you to be with your family, that allows you to get the support that you need, even if it isn't inherently spelled out that way. And again, there are places where even if it's spelled out that way, the leader doesn't necessarily have to honor it because they will get you where you need to be on paper, but if you feel like you are closing doors for your own career because that leader has written you off because you decided to take advantage of exactly what the company is offering you, no one wants to be in a place like that. And so those are the places that people are leaving, even in jobs where it would appear that the benefits and the values and the processes are really employee-centric.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 Minute Hack. But first, a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 Minute Hack.
All right, for this episode's 1 Minute Hack, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take inventory of the policies and processes and procedures around how employees in your organization are treated from the leaders, from yourself and your peers, if you're a leader of people. I want you to think about the things that you do have control over, not the things you don't have control over. So you might not necessarily be able to change the amount of leave that a person can take to be with a sick family member or arbitrarily just decide that a person doesn't have to work for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is. Don't worry about those things. Worry about the things that you can control, which is how do I support my employees daily when it comes to their interactions with customers, with the public in general? Do I prioritize the sale or the relationship with the customer over the relationship with the employee? If you can look at yourself and your peers and say that you don't do those things, those are the things that need to change and need to change very quickly because it can be very easy to think, well, if customers stop coming because we've prioritized the employee relationship over the customer relationship, then we're going to go out of business. That's not going to happen. That's not the case. There will always be enough customers to combat the ones that don't like the fact that you held them accountable to a standard of the way they treat people when they're in your place of business. What won't happen is you being able to continue to hire people if word gets around that no one wants to work there because the leadership doesn't have the employees back. That's how you actually go out of business, because then customers will stop coming because there aren't any people to help them. Prioritize the relationship with your employees. Make sure that how you support them, how you have their back when it comes to their relationship with the public and how they interact with the public, make sure that is spot on, and you will find yourself losing less people over time.
Absolutely. I think it's a great, you know, 1 minute hack and a great reminder of there are definitely things that we can control as leaders, specifically when we hear things like the labor shortage. And yes, there are things that are outside of our control, but I think over time, the way in which you connect with your people, the way in which you treat them, develop them, and build those real good connections, the less likely that you you are to maybe feel the impact of what's going on in the greater areas, the greater industries in regards to jobs.
Right. There will always be things outside of our control. There could be more, government money that comes to people that makes them be able to pay their bills without having to work. There could be more shutdowns. There could be another strain of COVID that comes out in 6 months or a year. There are all these things that we can't control. What we can control is how we treat people and how we support people who are in a situation where they are being treated poorly. If we have those relationships, that's the thing that no matter what is going on in the outside world, that we have complete control over.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And have a great day.